In verses 1 to 4, I want to base my remarks this evening. If you were following the reading carefully, verse 5 through to verse 20, the Lord pronounces 5 woes upon the nation of Babylon. We're not going to look at them. We're going to maybe mention 1 or 2 of them this evening, but we want to look just at verses 1 through to 4. Remember just the outline of the book we're emphasizing to you. Chapter 1, we've seen the last few weeks, faith wavering. Habakkuk's faith has wavered, but now his faith is progressing. And now in chapter 2, we see his faith waiting. And with that in mind, we read in verse 1, Habakkuk here, he's still in prayer to the Lord, and he states, "I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved." An unfortunate little girl, age 7, was tragically orphaned. She lost her mother and her father in a terrible car accident. She was taken to another family, and eventually they adopted her. On the first night that she was with this new family, they put her to bed, but she immediately got out of bed and she got down on her knees. And she asked her adopted mother if she could pray, as she always had done with her birth mother. She knelt down and she prayed the way she remembered her mother taught her how to pray. She said the Lord's Prayer. And after that, before finishing, she then went on to say these words. She said, "O God, make these people as kind to me as my father and mother were." She then paused, she opened her eyes, and with all the simplicity and naivety of a child, she looked up to the ceiling, and she smiled, and she simply said, "Of course, he will." And although it was simple, yet we find this young girl, she had grasped a very, very important lesson in prayer. She had prayed, and she then expected God to answer. In Habakkuk chapter 2, this is where the prophet Habakkuk has progressed to. We now find him in the opening verses of this chapter, and not with his faith wavering, but with his faith waiting. He is now expecting an answer from God. Habakkuk, of course, has been on quite a roller coaster of emotions. We saw in the opening chapter that his faith was wavering. At the beginning of the book, he looks around, he sees the sin, he sees the depravity, he sees the wickedness, and he then looks up and he cries, "Lord, how long? How long, O Lord, are you going to behold these things? How long, O Lord, are God's people going to be stricken with coldness? How long, O Lord, is the law going to be slack? How long is righteousness going to be trampled underfoot here in Judah?" He'd been praying long and praying hard, praying for God to intervene, praying for God to revive, but he felt that God wasn't doing anything. However, we remember in verse 5 of chapter 1, the Lord comes to Habakkuk and he instructs him. He said, "Habakkuk, I've been listening all along. Just because I haven't done anything about it just yet doesn't mean I haven't been listening." And he then proceeds to tell him, "Habakkuk, I'm going to do something and you're not going to believe it. I will work a work in your days and you won't believe it, Habakkuk, what I'm going to do." God was going to do something about the state of Judah, and Habakkuk wasn't going to like it. Neither was he going to understand it. God came to Habakkuk and he said, "Habakkuk, I'm going to take a dark nation, my people, the nation of Judah, and I'm going to do something with them. I'm going to come and judge them with an even worse nation, the nation of Babylon." And we saw last week that Habakkuk, when he received this news, he didn't respond rashly. He didn't just come to God and wag his finger and wag his fist and say, "Lord, how can you do that?" No, we saw last week Habakkuk was very, very mature in his prayer life. We saw how he took some objective truths about God, and before praying, he reminded himself of God's purity, of God's faithfulness, and of God's power. And as he did this, his faith then began to strengthen. And of course, the question wasn't, Lord, are you listening? The question wasn't even, Lord, do you know what you're doing? But we saw last week, as we ended in verse 19, the question was, Lord, how long are you going to do it? How long, Lord, are you going to let Babylon persist in their sin before you will come and empty their nets? And here in the opening verse of chapter 2, we find him continuing where he left off in the closing verse of chapter 1. Now he's waiting. Now he's watching, and he's waiting for God to move. And it is one thing to learn God's plan. It's another thing to live through God's plan. And it's how you respond that's important. Verse 4 is the crowning verse of this whole book. And it's a well-known verse to us all. The just shall live by his faith. Here we see Habakkuk. Habakkuk, he's moving from fear to faith. He is now watching. He is now waiting upon God for an answer. I wonder this evening, maybe you're here and you're going through a difficult time. You're struggling. You're suffering. Like Habakkuk, you can't understand it. Like Habakkuk, you ask the question, Lord, are you listening? You ask the question, Lord, do you really know what you're doing in my life? Well, I wonder, are you still wavering like Habakkuk? Or have you progressed to the way he was in chapter 2? I wonder are you now watching for an answer. Because this is where Habakkuk has progressed. As he sat down, as he took time to think about who God was, and what he would do, his faith was beginning to strengthen, and we now find him watching for an answer. Wonder if you have that attitude. Lord, I don't know all that you're doing. I don't understand it. I am not even going to try to. But Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm watching. Lord, I'm on the watchtower, as it were, and I'm waiting for an answer. I'm expecting an answer. Because this is where Habakkuk is. Now in chapter 2, we have come through the chaos, we have come through the confusion of chapter 1, and now he's progressed from faith wavering to faith watching. In chapter 1, his faith was languishing. In chapter 2, his faith is now looking. He's looking for God to intervene. And now we find how he actually lives. How he lives in light of what God is doing. What God, the chaotic things that are happening, the things that he can't really understand, we find this is how he's living. This is how he is living in light of what God is doing. And so I want to just simply consider this evening, living in light of God's plan. Living in light of God's plan. Notice firstly with me his posture. His posture. Verse 1 we read, I will stand upon my watch and set me up upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Habakkuk was absolutely flummoxed in chapter 1. You could summarize chapter 1 with two questions and two responses. In question 1, Habakkuk asks the Lord, why don't you punish sinful Judah? God comes and he answers Habakkuk. He says, I will punish sinful Judah, and I will do it through the nation of Babylon. Then the second question Habakkuk asked the Lord. He says, Lord, why are you using the godless nation of Babylon to chastise your own people? And the Lord then answers him, I'm doing it for my purposes, and after that, I will chastise Babylon, I will punish Babylon, just as I have punished my people. And this then begins to make Habakkuk understand. His faith is now beginning to strengthen. He's now beginning to understand what God is doing. He doesn't know all the big picture, but look at verse 12 of chapter 1. We find that the cogs are beginning to turn with Habakkuk. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and mighty God, thou hast established them, that's Babylon, for correction. Lord, you've raised up Babylon. You've raised up Babylon for the correction, for the chastisement of your people. And now Habakkuk knows. He looks into the future and he now knows that the Babylonian rule, so as they would come, as they would take Judah into captivity, so one day it would end. And he's now responding to the fact that God will punish Judah through the Babylonians. And armed with this knowledge, that yes, the Babylonians are going to come, they're going to punish the Lord people, the Lord's people, but then the Lord's going to come and punish them. Armed with this knowledge, we find him doing something. He is now determined to wait upon God simply to do it. The word stand in verse 1, it means to station, it means to stay, it means to continue. And I want you to see Habakkuk here. Habakkuk knows that the Babylonians are coming, but he also knows that God is going to judge them. Yes, they'll come, but yes, they'll go as well. And now what's he doing? He's stationing himself before the Lord to seek his face that it might happen. To ask him for further enlightenment and insight. He takes the position of the watchman. Of course, the watchman in Bible times, they would ascend up into a tower or a large edifice. They would get away from the people, away from village life, away from the town. And what was their task? It was to watch for the enemy. And he says, Lord, I'm, as it were, ascending the watchtower. I'm watching, yes, for the Babylonians to come. But I'm also going to look for what you're going to do with the Babylonians. And so he gets away from people, he gets away from the chaos, he gets away from the calamity, and he simply says, Lord, I'm here now, I'm alone with you. And in verse 1 we read, he states, what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. He is now waiting on the answer from God. In the midst of calamity, rather than running from God, you need to run to God to get alone and set up your watch with him. You want to know how to live in light of what God is doing, in light of the problems and in light of the trials and in light of the difficulties that you're going through. Habakkuk here is providing you with a plan. Yes, you're going through suffering and you have certain questions and you don't have the answers yet. Neither does Habakkuk. And he states that he went up to the watchtower, he got away from people, got away from family, got away from friends to seek the Lord. To seek the Lord, what he would say to him and how he would then respond. I wonder this evening, have you set up your watch? Going through a difficulty, trial, tribulation, do you take that time to seek insight from the Lord? To seek his enlightenment? To seek strength? To seek encouragement in and through his presence? Habakkuk had this experience, but Asaph, the psalmist, also had a similar experience. In Psalm 73, we read in the opening verses 2 and 3, as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He saw the wicked winning. Just like Habakkuk, he saw the wicked winning. And he stated, my feet is as if they were almost gone underneath me. I'm so taken back about the fact that the wicked are winning. He states in verse 13, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. See what he's saying here? I'm a Christian in vain. What's the point of being a Christian? What's the point of being a follower of the Lord if the wicked are winning and the righteous are not? But then something happens to him. The opening 16 verses of Psalm 73 is just Asaph's complaint and his struggling to understand what God is doing. But in verse 17, things change. We read, until I went to the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. In other words, as soon as he entered the sanctuary, the house of God, and he communed with the Lord, and he heard from God, he then began to understand. The Lord doesn't instruct in sound, he instructs in silence and solitude. And it's only as you repose will he illumine. This evening you need to get away from busyness and get away from the difficulties and even the problem itself. And like Habakkuk, elevate yourself above it. Soar, as it were, with the Lord and enter into His presence. Climb the watchtower, elevate yourself above the anxiety, above the perplexity, and seek insight and enlightenment from the Lord. Because this is what Habakkuk did. This was his posture. He got away from the problems, away from the difficulties, and he got alone with God. And he said, Lord, I'm listening now. Lord, you instruct me. You tell me. You enlighten me further as to what you're going to do with Babylon. His posture. Notice also here his patience. Verse 3, we read, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. The idea of patience is also borne out in verse 1. There you have the watchman up in the edifice, up in the tower, and he's patrolling night and day. He's patient. He's waiting for the enemy. He's watching for the enemy. Oh, the enemy may never come. He doesn't know that. He's waiting patiently night and day for the enemy to come. He needed to have patience. Then in verse 2 and onwards, God's response, responding now to Habakkuk. And he states it's for an appointed time. In other words, what he's saying is this. The Babylonians are going to come. They're going to take the children of Judah back to their land. And the Lord will then judge the Babylonians. But it was Him who set the time of judgment. It was set by Him. It seems that this judgment of Babylon wasn't going to happen immediately. And when you know and you read through your Old Testament, you see this borne out. God stating here, Habakkuk, look, it might take a while. But though it tarry, though the judgment of Babylon may tarry, wait for it. Wait for it, Habakkuk. Continue in the tower. Continue watching. Continue waiting. And Habakkuk, he looks out and he doesn't even see the Babylonians coming at this stage, but he's to look beyond that with patience, with expectation that God was going to intervene, that God was going to judge Babylon. You see, God's set time may take time. And if it does take time, then you are to take time to be patient with the Lord. The Lord says to you this evening, whatever the problem is, whatever the trial is, to wait for it. Tarry. Wait for it. It might take time. The Lord, He alone, He knows the set time of deliverance. He knows when He's going to come. He knows when He's going to move. He knows exactly what His purpose is in the midst of affliction. And maybe you say like Habakkuk, well, things are getting worse. Things are not getting any better. The Lord's saying to you, though it tarry, wait for it. It'll come. Keep praying. Keep watching. Keep waiting. Keep holding on to me. Keep taking these truths. The fact that I'm powerful. The fact that I'm faithful. The fact that I'm righteous and holy. Take these truths and keep applying them to the situation. Again in Psalm 27, we read in verses 13 and 14, the psalmist stated, I had fainted unless I had failed or believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait in the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. David again, just like Asaph, he's at the point of fainting. He's at the point of giving up. And then the Lord comes to him and He says, David, wait on me. Wait on me. I'll intervene. I'll deliver you from the hand of the enemy at my set time. Psalm 33 verse 20. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and shield. You see, sometimes God's purposes and God's perplexities require patience with Him. Patience until they're accomplished. Oh, this evening, you like Habakkuk, you see a situation, a problem, a trial, a difficulty, and you say, I find it hard to understand. Well, the Lord is saying to you this evening, like Habakkuk, wait for it. Wait for it. Though it tarry, and you don't know how long it's going to be, though it tarry, wait for it. It'll come. A man came to visit the famous American preacher Philip Brooks. And as he entered the house, he saw Brooks pacing up and down the room. He asked Brooks, he said, "Dr. Brooks, what's the trouble with you?" He said, "Trouble? I'm in a hurry and God isn't. That's the trouble." And so often are we not like that. We ask God to do something and we're in a hurry, but the Lord isn't. The Lord isn't in a hurry. The Lord says, "In my time, there's a set time, an appointed time, and you've just got to wait for it." And you know, the interesting thing is this. Habakkuk never saw the judgment of Babylon. He never saw it. You trace the timeline of this. He never saw the judgment of Babylon. He never saw the fulfillment of the answer. But he was patient nonetheless. Patient, it seems, to the very day he was ushered out into God's eternity. His posture, his patience. I want you to see, thirdly, here his promise. Verse 3, we read, "The division is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry." See the certainty here that God is speaking to Habakkuk with? The vision is coming and destroying the Babylonians. It was well in the future. But it shall speak. It will not lie. God is saying, look, Habakkuk, when the Babylonians come and then they're punished, it will speak. That act that I have done, it will speak and it will not lie. It will show that I'm a God who doesn't lie. And he proceeds on to state, it will surely come. It will not tarry. It will surely come. Habakkuk, keep waiting. Though it tarry, wait for it. It'll definitely come. Because I've promised it'll come. Oh yes, Habakkuk, it might be years and it might even be decades. And in the case of Habakkuk, it was. Yes, the Babylonians came relatively quickly, but it was years before they were judged. And they were judged by the Lord. But nonetheless, the Lord had promised it. And then from verses 5 through to verse 20, he shows the absolute certainty of the Babylonians being judged. He pronounces 5 woes on them. Just look at verses 6 and 7. Look at the first one. "Woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. How long? And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay, shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee?" The image here is of a man and he's laden down. It's as if he's carrying thick clay. But the thick clay here, it refers to being in debt. It refers to a pledge of gold or silver. And so here's the picture of a man and he's getting further and further into debt. And it's like thick clay, it's weighing him down. It's weighing him down. Then in verse 7, we read, "Suddenly it shall bite thee." In other words, the creditor comes. And he comes seeking repayment. And the Lord takes this image and he says, Babylon, they're just like that. They're being weighed down. It's like thick clay. But their day of reckoning is coming. There is coming a day when God will come, when he will, as it were, come and judge them. And Habakkuk, now in verse 3, he's waiting on that day. He's waiting on the fulfillment of the promise that God would definitely come and judge the Babylonians. You see, delays are designed, but they're not necessarily denial. When God promises to do something, though you may feel it is delayed, it is not denial because he will always keep his promises. I wonder if your promises. You're going through a trial, going through a season of affliction. The Lord has given you maybe perhaps general promises. Promises even like in the Psalms that the Lord will deliver the righteous from afflictions and so on. He has given you these general promises. And although they may not have come to pass yet, the Lord is saying to you, though it tarry, wait for it, it'll surely come. If I've promised it will happen, it'll definitely happen. And so like Habakkuk, just wait for it. Just wait for it. Keep seeking my face. Keep praying. Keep watching. Keep waiting. Over the marble fireplace in the Maas building at Princeton University, there is an inscription. It's written in German, but in translated, it reads this: God is subtle, but he is not malicious. God is subtle, but he's not malicious. And child of God, you remember that. Remember that the Lord, he works all things, as Romans 8 tells us, out for the good of the child of God. And although you may not see that just yet, though it tarry, wait for it. It'll surely come. The Lord's not malicious. It's not that he wants to do you harm. He's a compassionate God. He's a holy God. He's a faithful God. So just keep waiting. Keep looking to him. Keep leaning upon him. And he'll come. And he'll answer. There was his posture, his patience, his promise. Lastly and quickly, notice here his principle. Verse 4 we read, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. God comes to Habakkuk and he essentially gives him the enduring principle of all of Scripture. The first part of this verse is speaking of the Babylonians. It's speaking of their pride being lifted up and trusting in themselves. And he then contrasts the pride of the Babylonians with the faith of the children of God. The right to the righteous. The just shall live by his faith. And God was simply saying to Habakkuk, look, you're one of my people. You're justified. You have had your sins forgiven. You have had your sin dealt with. You have been justified before my throne. Now live. Now live by walking in faith with me. In the midst of all that you see around you, Habakkuk, in the midst of the chaos, the slackness of the law, the fact that God's people are getting more sinful, more slack, and not better, in the midst of all of the calamity, Habakkuk, keep your eye on me. Walk with me, walk by faith. And in giving you the gift of faith, you're then to live the life of faith. To live life with this overarching principle, that I am going to walk by faith, and I'm going to walk in faithfulness to the Lord. Yes, when it's easy. When it's easy to do so. But also when it's hard. And that's what's happening here with Habakkuk. It was very difficult. He saw terrible things, as we saw in chapter 1. Deplorable things. And he was crying, Lord, how long? And the Lord says, Habakkuk, continue in the watchtower. Walk with me. Continue in your walk of faith with me. It was essentially saying the words of 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7. We walk by faith and not by sight. In the midst of your furnace, the Lord requires faith. Faith in his plan, faith in his purposes, but also, as we saw last week, faith in his person. Faith in who he is. Faith in the fact that he is working all things after the counsel of his own purposes, but also for the good of the believer. Raymond Edmond has written a little booklet. It's called The Disciplines of Life. And he states this, and this just sums up what we've looked at this evening. He states, God's disappointments are also God's appointments. And God's delays are not necessarily his denials. You see the progress of Habakkuk? Chapter 1, faith is wavering. But now in chapter 2, he's waiting. And he's waiting on the appointment. God has set his time where he will come in retribution and judge Babylon. And Babylon will come and will judge the people of the Lord. And Habakkuk, he knows there's that appointment. He doesn't know when it is, but he knows it's coming. And so now he's waiting. He's up in the watchtower. And he's looking. Waiting for the answer. Living in light of God's plan. And we trust the Lord will bless these thoughts to your heart this evening.